IE America Radio, we want to wish you a happy holiday season.
And a peaceful new year.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A roadside bomb exploded near a U.S. military convoy Monday, killing two American soldiers and an Iraqi translator, the military said. U.S. troops overnight arrested a former Iraqi intelligence officer suspected of directing anti-American attacks and raided a Baghdad mosque. Two other soldiers from the 1st Armored Division were wounded in the attack at about 11:45 a.m. in Baghdad. The soldiers' names were being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Three American soldiers have now been killed in combat in the past week, raising the toll to 317 soldiers killed in combat since military operations began in March. A strong earthquake measuring 6.5 struck Central California on Monday morning, swaying high-rise buildings from San Francisco to Los Angeles. There were no immediate reports of damage from the trembler, whose epicenter was located 7 miles from San Simeon, California, home of the Hearst Castle, one of the major tourist attractions in the state. CNN said the castle was evacuated, though it was unclear whether that was because of damage or as a precaution. CNN, a business unit of Time Warner, has terminated its agreement with a unionized contractor that provides more than 220 technicians and camera crews for its Washington and New York bureaus. CNN says it wants to bring the jobs in-house with non-union workers. The technicians, who are represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, have been invited to apply for non-union jobs at CNN. Some have already been hired. Without the union, workers will lose the right to be paid extra for such things as night shifts and short turnarounds, which for some workers can be as much as $12,000 a year. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean criticized the Bush administration Monday for what he called a callous refusal to press Congress for another extension of unemployment benefits. Bush should call Congress into special session, Dean said, and keep lawmakers at work until the extension of benefits is approved. The looming holiday season and the potential that thousands could lose benefits at precisely the time they are most needed underscores the urgency, he said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Gary and Linda Manla nicely donated a blue spruce towering over their home for decades to Newark, New Jersey for its official Christmas tree. But the Manlas weren't in the crowd when the tree's 10,000 lights were switched on earlier this month. The city had neglected to tell them. They finally got to visit the tree this Thursday as the personal guest of Mayor Sharp James. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Ah, Tommy, we hardly knew ye. Tom Scully we're talking about. George W.'s handpicked honcho of America's Medicare program. Tommy came into this position of public trust only a couple of years ago, and already he's on the move. He spent his short 2-year stint pushing for a massive overhaul of Medicare in a way that will add profits to private hospitals, HMOs, and the drug giants. Why are we not surprised? After all, prior to becoming a public servant, Scully had been head honcho for the Federation of American Hospitals, the lobbying front for the very same for-profit hospitals that his Medicare overhaul will benefit. Now, Tom's cashing out. Having been deeply involved in rewriting the Medicare law, He's been openly peddling his insider knowledge to assorted lobbying firms, dangling his government experience to draw a seven-figure salary as a lobbyist working for the private health care giants. As one of the lobbying firms said, Tom's recent experience at the highest levels of government makes him very attractive to our firm. Great. George W. gave us Scully, a former corporate lobbyist, to rewrite Medicare, thus giving Scully an advanced degree in corporate servitude so he can now command an even fatter salary as a corporate lobbyist. There's a Horatio Alger story for you. Worse, Scully had been out trolling for lobbying jobs while he was inside the back rooms negotiating the Medicare rewrite. Yet, he says this represents no conflict of interest, for he went to the agency's ethics officer and got a waiver to the ethics rules that other employees have to follow. Besides, he assures us, nobody has ever accused me of being other than honest. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Oh, Tommy, then let me be the first. Scully, you are a scuzz, a poster boy of the corrupt revolving door scam between government and corporate power that makes most Americans sick to our stomachs."
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Everybody in the Christmas spirit, are you? Program produced by Catherine Bay, as always. Our announcer is Robin Bittman. And the phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. Tomorrow night is our Christmas show, such as it is this year. We have a couple of treats in store for you, not the least of which... You got to hear this tomorrow night. We're going to play it two or three times tomorrow night. Nick from Warsaw, one of our listeners, called in with the Limbaugh. What was the song, Kathy? Limbaugh the White Man. It's posted in the gallery at our website. We sent the lyrics off to our webmaster, Mark Marshall, who... Open your mic and talk to me.
Nick in Warsaw has sung two Christmas carols on this show. The first one was Limbaugh the White Man.
Right.
Okay. The second one was Rummy the Little Drummer Boy.
That's the one
we'll have for you tomorrow night.
Okay. Rummy the Little Drummer Boy. We sent the lyrics up to our webmaster in New York, Mark Marshall. And I don't know how he did it, but he set it to music. And I swear to God, Nick doesn't realize it yet. Probably, but this, you know, if this were released commercially, whoa. Anyway, I want you to hear it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, lyrics by Nick from Warsaw and music, traditional music, from our webmaster, Mark Marshall. Incredible. We listened to it. Kathy and I listened to it this afternoon. It was like, hey, let's play that tonight. And Kathy said, no, let's wait till the Christmas show tomorrow night. Okay, so we'll do that. You got to hear this. Okay, it's not like the Return of the King, but it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. We watched Twin Towers last night on HBO, Cinemax, Stars. in preparation for going, we're going to go, I guess, Christmas Day. We figured the best time to go see Return of the King would be Christmas Day, since we are not gathering with family this year. And we have every year for a number of years. We're just going to stay here in Atlanta, just the two of us. Oh, and we have a special announcement tomorrow night. What else we got? And our Christmas show. So hope you're going to be here tomorrow night. Now, tonight, Limbaugh's latest lame excuse for his illegal drug habit, he was blackmailed. You knew this was coming, right? The devil made me do it. He's blackmailed. This is kind of like the paranoia that he exhibited last year when he said that the liberal media was deliberately slowing down his broadcasts to make his speech sound slurred. Remember that? This guy is really, really a freak, huh? We'll also have some sound clips from Tom Rainbow Ridge and Simple Scotty McClellan, the White House mouthpiece on the new Rainbow of Terror, just in time for the holidays. Hey, where are we? Red? Orange? What are we? But before we get into it tonight, this is the winter solstice. Now, to Wiccans and Pagans and Celts, this is not a major holiday. It's kind of a minor holiday. But this is the start of the solar year, and it's a celebration of light and the rebirth of the sun. Now, you all know this, but let me just quote a bit. In old Europe, the solstice was known as Yule, which comes from the Norse language Jule, meaning wheel. Wheel. You got it? It's linked to holidays in various religions now, past and present. But for prehistoric people, winter was a very difficult time, especially in the northern latitudes. The growing season had ended, stored food was limited, and shortening days created fear that the life-giving sun would disappear for good, leaving the people in permanent darkness and extreme cold. Kind of like Jonathan Schell's book, Fate of the Earth, Nuclear Winter, right? A few days after the winter solstice, usually around December 25th, the people would have reason to celebrate because they started to see that the sun was rising and strengthening once more. Now, how they knew this, how they could make those subtle distinctions is beyond me, but the learned people, the Wiccans and the Celts and the village witch, so-called, who understood these sorts of things, knew that, hey, it's not going to disappear. So they came to realize they could endure the cold once they realized that the return of the warm season was inevitable. So this gave birth to the concept of birth, death, and rebirth. And that concept originally became associated with the winter solstice. Shall I go on? Okay. In ancient Egypt, December 21st, the solstice, was celebrated as the date the man god Osiris died and was entombed. The ancient Greeks celebrated this day called Linnaea, the festival of the wild women. Oh, my God. Originally, this ritual, the Greeks, involved human sacrifice in which a gang of women tore apart and ate a man representing the harvest god Dionysus. Tore him apart and ate him? The Greeks? Ancient Greece. Okay. By classical times, a goat was instead sacrificed, with women acting only as funeral mourners and observers to the symbolic rebirth of Dionysus. Now, during the Roman Empire, two festivals were combined to cover the full week of December 17th to December 23rd, Saturnalia, a feast time for Saturn, the god of agriculture, and Opalia, a feast time for Ops, never heard of her, goddess of plenty, who is the partner of Saturn. And on December 25th, a festival called the Birthday of the Unconquered Sorrel, or the Invisible Sun, occurred to celebrate the birth of a blending of major pagan godmen from Apollo and Hercules to Dionysus and Perseus. Now, which brings us to the birth date, as it's celebrated, the Christian birth date of Jesus Christ. It's not known for certain. If you read the story in Luke and understand the weather in the Middle East, you know that the shepherds would not be abiding their flocks in the middle of winter. But that's all right. The habit of the Christian church was to take over pagan holidays as they conquered the world with this, the parts of the world they did conquer with this religion. So, it's not known for certain, but church leaders at some point selected December 25th as a time for celebration. Now, it took centuries before this celebration of the birth of Christ was accepted worldwide. And the date, the 25th, is no surprise since celebrations already occurred throughout the Roman Empire at that time for pagan gods. And as you know, many symbols and practices associated with Christmas, including holly, ivy, mistletoe, the Yule log, gift-giving, tree decorating, are of pagan origin. Pagan. And because of the strong ties to Saturnalian and Bacchanalian festivals, which are considered heathen by some, certain Christian groups do not even celebrate Christmas. But they're like, they're not mainstream Christian groups. I wouldn't call Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses as mainstream, would you, Kathy? Yeah? All right, a winter solstice prayer. I would like to do a winter solstice prayer in celebration of this. It's very quick, and you don't have to bow your head or close your eyes or anything like that. But this comes from spiritheart.org. In the heart of the Father resides the eternal peace. In the heart of the Mother resides the wisdom of peace. In the heart of the earth resides the manifestation of peace. In the heart of each human being resides the potential of peace that is held by the Father, the Mother, and the earth. As we pass through the shortest day of the year, let us be reminded of the light seeking its most inward point within until the changing of the celestial cycle. In the changing of the cycle, as the days begin to grow longer, may our light of peace shine into the world so it illumines the hopeless hearts, the despair, the misery, and the suffering, with the radiance of God's most holy light birthing anew in the human experience this holy season. Selah. In celebration of the winter solstice, we in warmer climes. I guess if we lived in Florida or certain parts of the country right now where it is a little bit warmer on tonight, and I actually in northern climes, really get out in the middle of a field someplace, build a huge bonfire, and dance around it with joy and abandon. Yeah, doesn't that sound like fun? No, okay. Also tonight, Time Magazine gets into the warmongering biz. As you probably know by now, they named the American soldier as Person of the Year, and they have three American soldiers on their cover, which is kind of odd. The last time they did this was back in 1950. So here we are, 53 years later, and back then, I understand it was the American fighting man. Of course, they can't say that anymore because we have fighting women. Actually, they're children. I'm sorry, they are. There are boys and girls who are sent off to kill and be killed for the Bush crime family. So we're going to get into that tonight. And also, I see a break is coming. As soon as this break is over, we're going to bring you up to date with a Rush Limbaugh, the Pigman update, then a couple of other random items, and then onward and upward. All right, if you have your copy of Time Magazine, I got mine today, or was it, what's today, Monday? I got it today. If you will turn with me to page 54 and 55, and we will get to that particular picture a little bit later in the program. All right, stick around. All kinds of fun and frivolity tonight. I'm Mike Malloy.
And I support the troops, my friend, and I support the food bank, too. So it's the least that I can do, the least that I can do. I trash the man who does not stand to salute our president. 'Cause in these times we must fall in line, there's no room for dissent.
souls who died to give the right to me. You're no gasoline.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So good news for all the ditto heads out there. Limbaugh's going down. Limbaugh is going to go. Well, his lawyer's trying to cut a deal, which everybody's denying right now. But, of course, that's what white-collar criminals do. That's what rich white people do when they're caught. An attorney for Rush Limbaugh, though, has come up with the... what they always come up with. You know how they, when they bust somebody for, you know, some prominent person for porn on their child pornography, and then that person says,
well, I was doing an investigation of child pornography, so that's why it's on my computer.
Or, you know, they bust somebody with a whole bunch of illegal drugs.
Well, I was doing a sting operation, so that's the reason I had all the drugs.
Well, Limbaugh now, his attorney, they thought about using those two excuses, the pig man did, and his attorney said, no, that's not what we do, Rush. His attorney, Roy Black, famous criminal attorney who at one time defended one of the Kennedy nephews on a rape charge, and you remember how Limbaugh chewed on that one, right? Same attorney. The attorney says that Limbaugh was being blackmailed. There you go. That's it. He was being blackmailed by the Florida couple whose allegations triggered this investigation into Limbaugh's filthy terror-supporting purchase of street drugs. Blackmail. During a hearing over whether prosecutors should have access to Limbaugh's medical records so they can nail the bastard on doctor shopping, the attorney for the pigman said, quote, extreme amounts of money were paid. Limbaugh paid extreme amounts of money to Wilma Klein, his former housekeeper, and her husband, first for pills, then for extortion. Attorney Black alleges that the Kleins had threatened to go public with information about Limbaugh's drug use unless they received $4 million. Yeah, that's it. There's the ticket. That's the story. Attorney Black said Limbaugh wanted to contact the FBI, but was told by an unidentified friend that if he went to the authorities, they would target him. The authorities would, and his political enemies would use the information against him. Does this sound like a crazy man? Of course it does. Limbaugh? Political enemies? Who could that be? Huh? This guy is out of his mind. This is what happens when you use these drugs for years and years and years. It's just like cocaine crazy. Limbaugh is a crazy man. He's a psychopath. And now his political enemies, over there, behind the lamp, under the bed, we're out to get him. Now, the accusations by Roy Black, Limbaugh's attorney, came on the same day that a judge began hearing arguments over whether Limbaugh's medical records should be unsealed. Now, obviously they should. Of course they should. To the same degree that Limbaugh used to pound his desk and rattle his papers about Bill Clinton's private records being unsealed. Things like DNA tests and whether or not he had had an AIDS test and the size and shape of his penis and so on. Because Limbaugh is a freak. He's an absolute garbage mouth freak. And now they want his records because of a criminal investigation. A criminal investigation. And Limbaugh's attorney said, well, you can't do that. A spokesman for the radio network Premiere that carries Limbaugh's show said discussions have taken place between Attorney Black and prosecutors about, I love the way they word this, a possible resolution of the investigation of Limbaugh. A possible resolution means Limbaugh is desperately trying to cut a deal. The pig man is trying to cut a deal. No, pig man, let's do to you what you advocated for years should be done to especially white people. Jail!
Crew, in case you imagine you can mess with me in any fashion, you really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice. Come over here, big fella.
Yeah, the big man's putting us on the map, so for all we care, he can yap, yap, yap. 14 hours a day, you can squeal and shout, just shut your pie hole when the lights go out.
It is my firm and unyielding belief.
Hey, shut up, man!
Now, just to make sure you don't miss my point, I'm not closing down just because I'm in the joint. Friends and fans across the fruited plain, fear not, for I shall rise again. Next time with a little more empathy for the dregs and the druggies like you.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Renee Scarponi, Affiliate Relations Specialist for IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
A Michigan study finds race to be the main factor in determining who lives near hazardous waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Why are some communities burdened with landfills, hazardous waste incinerators, and sewage treatment plants while others ship their garbage out? Some say the issue is money. Poor communities end up with society's waste. Bunyan Bryant disagrees. Bryant, a social scientist at the University of Michigan, says the main factor is race.
Although income does play a part in most of these studies, when you combine race and income, race is a greater explanatory variable.
In a study done throughout Michigan, Bryant measured the percentage of African-American residents in different zip codes. He compared these findings to the number of waste facilities and environmental citations in each community.
We found out that income contributed very little to the equation or to the results, and that when you look at both income and race, it was like race overshadowed income. Race was doing most of the work.
Critics argue that these studies don't measure the benefits of waste facilities in an area, mainly jobs, but Bryant says the negative health impacts outweigh the economic benefits.
The question is, new jobs at whose expense? Say, for instance, I get a job, okay, and I'm making good wages, but 10 years down the road, maybe I might succumb to asthma or cancer or something like that.
Bryant says these health impacts are a form of subsidy to industry that workers and communities should not have to bear. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying greens.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
In truth, are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small.
Well, that sure was the case in Limbo's situation, wasn't it? Anyway, he's trying to cut a deal. The pig man is. The pig man. And he said he always wanted to make a deal. I wanted to go to the FBI. Because his attorney, Roy Black, is now saying that the Kleins, that was his housemaid and her husband, were trying to extort millions from the pig man. And the pig man wanted to fight back, but the pig man couldn't because he talked to a friend. He did. He talked to a friend. And the friend said if he went to the authorities would target him, the pig man, and his political enemies would use the information against him. Oh, my God. Well, now that he's under investigation, will somebody please point to me one political enemy who's using this against Limbaugh? A lot of comedians are showing the pig man for exactly what he is, a hypocritic slob. And then you have talk show hosts like me who, well, there's only about three of us, I guess, who point out his blatant and ugly hypocrisy. But what political enemies, Rush? Yeah, right. And a spokeswoman for Premier Radio Network says that conversations are going on between the big man's attorney and prosecutors about what is referred to as a possible resolution of the investigation of Mr. Limbaugh. That means cutting a deal. Kevin Bellows, who's a spokeswoman for Premier Radio Network, said Attorney Black had been talking with the Palm Beach County State's Attorney's Office about Limbaugh, quote, accepting responsibility for his actions, end quote. What? You mean this gold standard in morality? Limbaugh has to cut a deal to accept responsibility for his actions? Oh, my goodness. The ditto heads must just be twisting their intestines into a ball. What? The pig man has to enter into negotiations in order to accept responsibility for his street drug use? But of course, one of Limbaugh's attorneys, Mark Shapiro, strongly denied that any negotiations are taking place, saying Limbaugh is, quote, not prepared to plead guilty to anything, end quote. The spokeswoman for Premier Network said Limbaugh, who recently completed treatment, get this, for addiction to prescription painkillers. No, Bellows, they're not prescription painkillers. They are street drugs. They are illegal because he bought them off the street, notably a parking lot, Denny's parking lot, you moron. Anyway, Bellows said that Limbaugh recognizes that he may have purchased drugs illegally under Florida law. He may have. Well, now you know, maybe sometimes when you go to Denny's and buy them in cigar boxes for hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes that's not illegal. Maybe. Yeah, Miss Bellows says Limbaugh recognizes that he may have purchased drugs illegally under Florida law. And then she goes on to say, certainly he had more pills than he could ever use, end quote. In a later interview, she denied making that last comment. Miss Bellow said Limbaugh never intended to sell the drugs. Oh, she said,
he just wants this thing to go away. He won't admit to anything he didn't do, end quote.
He may have. Limbaugh recognizes he may have purchased drugs illegally under Florida law. And he's trying to cut a deal. And he's cutting a deal that would allow him to accept responsibility for his actions. This hypocritical pig. This disgusting hypocritical pig. And the ditto heads, all you lurkers out there, that listen to this program, you're terrified to call in. To hell with you. You know, here's your boy. Look at him. Look at him! Look at him! Defend him! A punk-ass street drug user. According to court documents, the investigation centers on whether Limbaugh engaged in doctor shopping, which is a felony, getting multiple prescriptions from several doctors that he could not have received from just one. Well, in court documents, investigators say Limbaugh obtained about 2,000 pills during 5 months, sometimes getting multiple prescriptions less than a month apart. Limbaugh insists he had nothing. No, I didn't do anything illegal. Doctor after doctor after doctor wrote prescriptions. After hearing from both sides, the Circuit Court Judge Jeff Wyckoff said he will hand down a ruling Tuesday about the records being made public. I say get him out there. I want to know what shape Limbaugh's liver is in. After all, he is the great spokesman of the neoconservative ditto-head brain-dead right wing in this country. I want to know about his liver. I want to know about his kidneys. I want to know about his addled brain. I want to know. He's already made himself deaf. He just blew his ear sockets completely to pieces. This is how you know you're dealing with somebody who's really an addict. They will stop at nothing. If their hearing is going, too bad. I don't care. All right. Enough of Limbaugh. What a disgusting oaf. Israel warns Iran on nuclear weapons. The Israeli defense minister warned Iran that Israel may take military action to destroy Iran's nuclear capabilities. Okay, that's enough of that one. Oh, and another Republican, right-wing ditto head, freak like the pig man. Remember when South Dakota Representative Bill Janklow said he would accept punishment when he went on trial for manslaughter. They should have tried the bastard for murder, but he went on trial for manslaughter, and he was found guilty. Took the jury, what, 10 minutes? No, actually, it took him a couple hours. But and he said he would accept whatever his punishment was. Well, guess what? Guess what? As my senior correspondent pointed out, this is another Republican big lie. And there's no surprise here, but I thought I'd share it with you. Representative Bill Janklow filed a motion asking that he either be acquitted of second-degree manslaughter that he was convicted of or granted a new trial, saying prosecutors didn't present enough evidence to establish his guilt. Huh? How about that? There you go. Another filthy Republican trying to weasel out, just like Limbaugh, just like the rest of these thugs.
I'll take whatever punishment is handed out.
So he hasn't even been sentenced yet, but he was found guilty. So he says, acquit me. Of course, the jury already found you guilty, you moron. Either acquit me or grant me a new trial. He was convicted December 8th for the traffic crash that killed a motorcyclist. He was never put on trial for the Native American teenager that was found dead after accusing him of raping her. He never went on trial for that one. During the trial for the manslaughter where the motorcyclist was killed, the defense had argued that Janklow was a diabetic and he hadn't eaten the day of the crash and he had low blood sugar. Oh, damn. Well, anyway, on January 22nd, this useless thug will be sentenced. And the idea of taking responsibility, just like the pig man down in Florida saying, oh, cut me a deal. Oh, please cut me a deal. I don't want to be made the bride of somebody in prison. I don't. I don't want to be anybody's wife while I'm in there. I know you'd probably send me someplace where I could just stroll the beach. Maybe I could wear an ankle bracelet, but there's always a chance you put me in prison and somebody will do me in there. Cut me a deal. I'm Rush Limbaugh. I'm Representative Janklow. You know, there was a time when this next story, Limbaugh, would have been all over it. Since I don't listen to the pig man's gibberish, maybe one of you can tell me. The son of former Vice President Al Gore has been charged with marijuana possession. Hear about this? Al Gore III, 21, was arrested Friday night after he was stopped for driving a vehicle without its headlights on. Well, see right there. Let me start with. To me, that's good for 30 days in jail right there. Don't you just when people at night and you see somebody driving without their headlights, 30, 60, 90 days in jail, I think. Just for being stupid. Two passengers were also arrested and charged with misdemeanor marijuana possession. 21 and a 22-year-old. This occurred in Montgomery County, Maryland. A police officer stopped the car, a dark-colored Cadillac, in Bethesda about 11:30 p.m. Friday. The officer noticed the car's windows and sunroof were open, despite cold temperatures Friday night. Well, yes, Ossifer, that's because they were trying to get the reefer smoke out of the car. There was also a smell of marijuana coming from the vehicle, according to a news release from the police department. A search of the vehicle turned up a partial marijuana cigarette. Why, when they report this stuff, this is AOL News, why don't they just say a partial joint or a partial doobie? What's this marijuana cigarette? A cigarette is a small cigar. Oh, never mind. Anyway, a search of the vehicle turned up a partial marijuana cigarette, a cigarette box containing suspected marijuana, and a soft drink can that also smelled of marijuana. What? A soft drink can? It could have been used as a bong. That's true. All three were released pending trial. In September 2002, the younger Master Gore was ticketed for driving under the influence. Boy, this kid's probably been spending too much time with the Bush twins, huh? He was pulled over and ticketed by military police just outside Fort Myer in suburban Virginia, but was not taken into custody. In the summer of 2000, he was cited by North Carolina Highway Patrol for direct driving 97 in a 55-mile-an-hour speed zone. Under an agreement with prosecutors, a reckless driving charge was dropped, but he was fined $125 for speeding his driving. Blah, 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 blah. This kid needs help. This kid needs help. Now, like I say, there was a time when the pig man would have been all over this story, but I guess given the pig man's current situation, it would be rather difficult to talk about illegal drug use, wouldn't it? Yeah, sure would. Well, what do you know about that? That's a shame. Al Gore's son. Well, Al, speaking of people violating the law, Dick Cheney faces possible prosecution. Did you hear about this? A French official is examining whether to prosecute Dick Cheney over alleged complicity in the abuse of corporate assets dating from the time he was head of the services company Halliburton. This is according to the French newspaper Le Figaro. Le Figaro. The case stems from a contract by a consortium including the American company Kellogg Brown & Root, Halliburton, and a French company, Technip, to supply a gas complex to Nigeria. The newspaper reported, so, no, that'll never come to trial, because Dick Cheney is Dick Cheney, and nobody sues Dick Cheney. Hell, you can't even sue him here. All right, last one for this segment. And then we're going to move on to a couple of your phone calls and Times Man, a person of the year. Another Bush judicial nominee who should be taken out and horsewhipped. This guy thinks bombing birds benefits birdwatchers. Pardon the alliteration, but that's what it says. The attention on Bush's judicial nominees, in spite of all that, one of the most recent candidates, has remained under the radar screen. I haven't heard about this until today. This came from BushGreenWatch.org, courtesy of our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. It says, William Haynes II's nomination for a seat on the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is pending in the Senate. He was general counsel for the Defense Department, and he now serves as the military's top lawyer. In the bird bombing case, conservationists sued to protect an important nesting island for migratory birds in the Pacific. And they established, as plaintiffs, that the U.S. military's bombing of the island during live fire training exercises violated the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. William Haynes' team argued in a legal brief that conservationists, here it comes, actually benefit from the military's killing of birds because it helps make some species more rare. And, quote, bird watchers get more enjoyment spotting a rare bird than they do spotting a common bird, end quote. Mr. Haynes' team argued that bombing was good for the birds, too, as it kept the island free of other, quote, human intrusion, end quote. Do you understand this? Do you understand how sick these sons of bitches are? I mean, this is beyond sick. Let's continue to bomb the island. Why? Because it kills birds. Well, why is that good? Well, that makes the species more rare. And why is that good? Because then bird watchers will enjoy looking at birds that are more rare than birds that are not quite as rare. Oh, I got you. A federal judge ruled against the military that Haynes represented in 2002 in this case, saying, quote, there's absolutely no support in the law for the view that environmentalists should get enjoyment out of the destruction of natural resources because that destruction makes the remaining resources more scarce and therefore more valuable. The court hopes that the federal government will refrain from making or adopting such frivolous arguments in the future. End quote. Now, you would expect that any president or advisory council would say, this is not somebody we want on the federal bench. But if you said that, you would be misunderestimating, is that the word he uses? Bush. Instead, Bush is nominating Haynes to a lifetime appointment on the federal appeals court. His nomination hearing was held November 18th. Did you hear about it? No, neither did I. And he awaits the Senate Judiciary Committee vote. On his Senate questionnaire, Haynes listed the Byrd case as the second most significant of his career. The first? Well, not really a case, but Mr. Haynes was the architect of the Bush crime family's policy of holding U.S. citizens as enemy combatants without access to attorneys, which two federal courts have now ruled is unconstitutional. And this filthy waste wants to be a federal judge. God. See, Bush wouldn't know this guy from Adam's house cat. But the pigs who now run this country, who want to destroy everything, say to Bush, nominate this guy. Aye, I'll nominate him. Blow up the birds, which will make the species more rare, and the bird watchers will enjoy that more, and lock up American citizens without due process under the USA Patriot Act. Oh, and by the way, I would like a lifetime appointment to be a federal judge.
Nothing comes from violence, nothing ever could. For all us born beneath an angry star, lest we forget how fresh, how we are. Tears from the star, like tears from the star. On and on the rain will see how fragile we are, how fragile we are.
Oh, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long-itis. In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion, and that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday.
For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, after the break at the top of the hour, we'll get to the Time Magazine's Person of the Year selection this year. As Time Magazine gets further and further into the warmongering biz. And we'll also have some audio from Tom Rainbow Ridge and Simple Scotty McClellan on the new Orange. We're at level 2, just in time for the holidays. Jeez. Frank is calling from Ontario, Canada, our bureau chief there. Hey, Frank.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a small, modest, humble contribution here to your holiday parody lineup.
All right.
It's to the tune of Old Christmas Tree.
Okay.
It's called OWMD. Remember the WMDs.
All right. Let me ask you, Frank, can you do it in 2 minutes? Because we have a break coming.
I can probably have to hold till after the break. I can do it in about 2.5 minutes, I think I timed it.
Well, then I better hold you till after the break, because I would hate to have you halfway through and I have to say, Frank, we have to stop. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back after the break.
Okay.
All right. And in the meantime, we will talk with Marge, who's calling in from Merville, Indiana. I'll probably have to put you on hold, too, right, Marge?
Well, I was waiting for you to get started talking about the...
Code Orange?
Code Orange and the prospect of the U.S. becoming... you caught me munching on a cracker with some Winchula's bar cheese.
Yeah?
Anyway.
You want to talk about the Code Orange thing?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll put you on hold. I'll come back to you at the appropriate time. We're coming to that. It may be a while.
Okay.
All right, I'll put you back on hold. And, geez, we'll just put everybody on hold. Right? Frank, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, Frank, don't go away because you've got... Now, this is to the tune of O Christmas Tree.
Yes.
O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum. Okay, all right. Well, let me put...
Yeah, that's right, yep.
All right, I'll put you on hold. I'll come back in a second. Who else can we put on hold tonight, Kathy? We'll just put everybody on. Alvin, shall we put Alvin on hold? Alvin is... Alvin's calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Alvin.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, but I'm going to have to put you on hold, Alvin, because we have a break coming. You want to talk about Halliburton on NPR?
Yeah, they launched the first day of a three-part series on that today.
Okay. Put you on hold. I'll come back in a minute.
I might need to call right back, okay?
Oh, no, just stay. All right, call back then. That'll work, too. Quick break. We'll be back, and we'll talk with everybody tonight. You want to talk? Just call in, Truth Seekers, before we blow up some birds. I swear to God.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A strong earthquake measuring 6.5 struck Central California on Monday morning, swaying high-rise buildings from San Francisco to Los Angeles. There were no immediate reports of damage from the Tembler, whose epicenter was located 7 miles from San Simeo, California, home of the Hearst Castle, one of the major tourist attractions in the state. CNN said the castle was evacuated, though it was unclear whether that was because of damage or as a precaution. A roadside bomb exploded near a U.S. military convoy Monday, killing 2 American soldiers and an Iraqi translator, the military said. U.S. troops overnight arrested a former Iraqi intelligence officer suspected of directing anti-American attacks and raided a Baghdad mosque. 2 other soldiers from the 1st Armored Division were wounded in the attack at about 11:45 a.m. in Baghdad. The soldiers' names were being withheld, pending notification of next of kin. 3 American soldiers have now been killed in combat in the past week, raising the toll to 317 soldiers killed in combat since military operations began in March. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean criticized the Bush administration Monday for what he called a callous refusal to press Congress for another extension of unemployment benefits. Bush should call Congress into special session, Dean said, and keep lawmakers at work until the extension of benefits is approved. The looming holiday season and the potential that thousands could lose benefits at precisely the time they are most needed underscores the urgency, he said. CNN, a business unit of Time Warner, has terminated its agreement with a unionized contractor that provides more than 220 technicians and camera crews for its Washington and New York bureaus. CNN says it wants to bring the jobs in-house with non-union workers. The technicians, who are represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, have been invited to apply for non-union jobs at CNN. Some have already been hired. Without the union, workers will lose the right to be paid extra for such things as night shifts and short turnarounds, which for some workers can be as much as $12,000 a year. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Practical Jokers Jim Bright and Chris Costello never imagined that their idea of dressing a female lobster in a Barbie outfit would save her from the steam pot. As a gag, the fisherman clad the crustacean and placed her in a friend's trap last September. The Barbie lobster has been hauled up and thrown back at least 10 times, but there have been no sightings of a Ken lobster. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Ah, Tommy, we hardly knew ye. Tom Scully we're talking about. George W.'s hand-picked honcho of America's Medicare program. Tommy came into this position of public trust only a couple of years ago, and already he's on the move. He spent his short 2-year stint pushing for a massive overhaul of Medicare in a way that will add profits to private hospitals, HMOs, and the drug giants. Why are we not surprised? After all, prior to becoming a public servant, Scully had been head honcho for the Federation of American Hospitals, the lobbying front for the very same for-profit hospitals that his Medicare overhaul will benefit. Now, Tom is cashing out. Having been deeply involved in rewriting the Medicare law, he's been openly peddling his insider knowledge to assorted lobbying firms, dangling his government experience to draw a 7-figure salary as a lobbyist working for the private health care giants. As one of the lobbying firms said, Tom's recent experience at the highest levels of government makes him very attractive to our firm. Great. George W. gave us Scully, a former corporate lobbyist, to rewrite Medicare, thus giving Scully an advanced degree in corporate servitude so he can now command an even fatter salary as a corporate lobbyist. There's a Horatio Alger story for you. Worse, Scully had been out trolling for lobbying jobs while he was inside the back rooms negotiating the Medicare rewrite. Yet, he says this represents no conflict of interest, for he went to the agency's ethics officer and got a waiver to the ethics rules that other employees have to follow. Besides, he assures us, nobody has ever accused me of being other than honest. This is Jim Hightower saying, oh, Tommy, then let me be the first. Scully, you are a scuzz, a poster boy of the corrupt revolving door scam between government and corporate power that makes most Americans sick to our stomachs.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them?
Well,
yeah.
Stop.
A few more years.
No. I'm talking about
like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I'm going to find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. All right, all those folks I put on hold, let's go back to them. Frank is our Ontario, Canada Bureau Chief. Frank has a Christmas parody song to the tune of O Tannenbaum. Let her rip, Frank.
Okay. Old WMD, old WMD, where have you found them lately? Old WMD, old WMD, where have you found them lately? Nation states, they wring their hands. Imperialists invade their lands. Old WMD, old WMD, threatening our safety. So now Saddam Hussein is gone. It's Michael Jackson from now on. Oh, WMD, oh, WMD, where have you found them lately? Oh, WMD, oh, WMD, Bush says, what's the difference? WMD, oh, WMD, Bush says, what's the difference? That smirking chimp's preemptive war, destroying peace forevermore. Oh, WMD, oh, WMD, put food on your family.
That's great, Frank. I really like that. Did you?
No problem. It just came to me over the weekend.
It did.
And the old WMD kind of rhymes with old Christmas tree, and then it just sort of grew from there.
I see. Well, it's amazing how songwriting, creativity, and genius just happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
That's a good song, Frank.
Well, thank you.
All right.
My little contribution for you.
More than little. It's an essential.
And, happy holidays to
you
and yours, and hope we get to talk to you once more before
the axe swings. Yeah.
I found out about that last week, that I'm not going to be on the air for much longer. So.
Well, we will talk again. Thank you, Frank.
Okay, I'll talk to you again.
You take care. Frank, our Ontario, Canada Bureau Chief from the Great White North. Thanks, Frank. We have a very talented list of or group of listeners. Can you imagine somebody calling the Pigman Show or the Baby Jesus Show? Or who's that freak on in the morning here in Atlanta, Kathy?
Glenn Beck!
And doing these creative songs? Oh, my God. What? Open your mic and talk.
There is a show here in Atlanta where they do that, I have to say.
And who shows in?
Kim Peterson on WGST.
Yeah.
The Kimmer, not crazy about his politics.
The shell-shocked Marine.
Yeah, he has the newsmaker line.
Right. And but I think he has somebody who's a professional parodist who does that.
More than one, but they're good.
Yeah, they're good. But not as good as our crew. Not as good as our crew. All right, now back to Alvin, who's calling from Augusta, Georgia, about Halliburton on NPR this week, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, except I live in Alabama.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you lived in Augusta.
That's okay. Augusta's a good place. I'll take that as a compliment. I like that last line he had, put food on your family. I like that.
Yeah, that's so Bush, you know, so Bush.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting today on NPR.
Yeah.
They were the first day they set up a three-part series on Halliburton. And they brought out some interesting things. They didn't hit it as hard as, you know, some of the guys in your audience that you would.
But now, what do you talk about NPR? You talk about All Things Considered on radio?
It was the evening drive when I heard it, so I'm not sure it was All Things Considered or Marketplace or...
I see. Okay. Well, it had to be one of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's on the way up, so you'll be able to
and
access it.
I'll check it out.
Well, they brought out the fact that a whistleblower back in 93 or 91,
mm-hmm.
Blew the whistle on the fact that Halliburton was overcharging for buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they provide everything from designing mess, building mess halls,
mm-hmm.
to trucking in ammunitions, to
they're criminals.
Gas.
They're just absolute criminals. Have you heard any Republicans stand up and say that these pigs should be examined or not examined, but indicted? They should be questioned. Their books should be looked at. No, you never hear any of these right wing monsters talk about this. These are war profiteers. These are people who stand on the corpses of dead Americans and dead Iraqis and dead. They don't give a damn. damn. As long as they can stand there and not sink into the blood and gore, they'll stand there and make the money. And it's so sick. But, hey, that's America, Alvin. That's what we're about. We're about killing and making money on blood and death and destruction, and we don't have anybody in government, nobody, with the exception of Henry Waxman, who will bring this stuff up, who will say, these people are trading in bones and teeth and eyes and blood of American soldiers and dead Iraqis. Nobody. Our country has gone to hell, Alvin. Just straight to hell, thanks to these Republicans.
The Veterans Administration called me a couple of days ago, and they wanted a donation. And I told them I couldn't give them anything. And I was just sick to death of how when I turn on my TV and I see Bush standing before these people, they cheer and clap and wave for him like he's some type of war hero. And I don't know how they can support him. I have some coworkers that are, some of them are retired military or got family that's active duty military. And I look at them, I wonder how can they support going over and following this man who was such a draft dodger himself.
I know. It's
so I'm wondering now. This thing hit him pretty hard. It talked about them overcharging for purchasing that fuel by $62 million. It talked about how they overcharge for meals and how they've been audited, and people are claiming that the private sector spends more money than having government-controlled contracts.
Right.
So I'm wondering, as more spotlight is shined on this thing, when and if people are going to stand up and say enough is enough. And if they don't, it may just be, all I'm doing is frustrating myself reading and finding out this stuff, because nobody really seems to give a damn.
I know. I hear you, Alvin.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right. All right,
sir. Take care. Yeah, we used to have in this country a Democratic Party, a political party that wouldn't stand for this, that would beat these bastards down with a stick. But now that Tom Daschle and Dick Gephardt and the rest of these pink tutu Democrats have taken over, hey, Silence. Dick Cheney's company profiteering on the blood and gore and arms and legs and heads that are blown to pieces of American soldiers and the bombing and the killing of Iraqi civilians and Iraqi soldiers simply because George Bush got pissed off and wanted to clean up daddy's mess. And if Halliburton or the rest of these companies are making money, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. If they're gouging and price gouging and ripping and biting and tearing, standing on these corpses, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's nobody to challenge it. Nobody. Oh, Bart Cop does, and we do, and Buzzflash, and you know, a few other places. But welcome to George Bush's America. We're here, dude. We are here. Time Magazine Person of the Year for 2003. If you saw the cover, there they are: a white woman, a white man, and a black man. Old Ironside. 1st Infantry Division, I believe. The American soldier is the person of the year, and they chose these three soldiers to represent person of the year. Time Magazine says they swept across Iraq and conquered it in 21 days. They stand guard on streets potholed with skepticism and rancor. They caught Saddam Hussein. They are the face of America, its might and goodwill in a region unused to democracy. The USGA is Time's Person of the Year. How many distortions and lies can you find in those four or five sentences? In the first sentence, a total distortion, conquered Iraq in 21 days. The answer to that is, why didn't they do it in 21 hours? There was nothing very much to conquer, was there? The upper echelons of U.S. military had cut deals with the upper echelons of the Iraqi military, paid them money, and the soldiers took off. They left. 21 days? And then it says, they, our people, stand guard on streets, potholed with skepticism and rancor. If that is the case, it's because of what we are doing and what we've done. We overthrew their government, as evil as it may have been, but we replaced Saddam with total chaos and murder and mayhem and death and destruction. And then the next line, they, referring to our people, caught Saddam Hussein. That is a lie. That is a total perversion of the truth. And there it is in Time Magazine, but never mind, it's Time Magazine. AOL, Time Warner, CNN, the largest media conglomerate in America, in the world, they caught Saddam Hussein. That's a lie, and we all know it's a lie. And then the next line, they are the face of America. That's not my face. No, my face is not one that invades country with no provocation and butchers people. That's not my face. Kiss my ass, Time Magazine. That's not my face. No. Not now. Not ever. Now, this really irritates me. My senior correspondent, I believe, sent me this. Yeah, I'm sure it was my senior correspondent. Why the U.S. soldier is Times Person of the Year? According to AOL, quote, for pulling Saddam from his hole in the ground and giving us hope for peace. What does each of the soldiers on the cover of this magazine have in their hands? Peace by way of the gun? I get it. Now, if you have a copy of Time Magazine, go to page 54. You have to count because it's a portfolio of photographs from Iraq. But I want you to go to page 54. It's a double truck, two-page ad, or two-page photograph of an American GI and his electric guitar. I want you to look at that picture. We'll come back and talk about it in a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. All right, In Time magazine on, it's not numbered, so you have to kind of figure it out. Is it page, what did I say, 57, 54, 50, I don't know. But there it is, a two-page spread of a soldier. He is a specialist, Stuart Will. And he's standing there in his underdrawers and a camo T-shirt and electric guitar and headphones on. There's something written on the wall behind him, death metal is better than, and you can guess, he's got sex underneath there probably. But to his left, to the right as you look at this picture, up on the wall, is it looks like my favorite pinup girl from the 50s, Betty Page. It looks like a caricature of Betty Page in her S&M mode, you know, with she's got on red, whatever that is, red bustier and red gloves and a red whip in her mouth. So here he is, and then there's specialist Stuart Will standing there, pounding out some, apparently, some heavy metal. He's got headphones on so as not to disturb other people in his unit who would probably put a bullet in his head if he didn't mute it and have the headphones on. But as I look at this picture, this does not inspire me to be proud of my military at all. When I think that this specialist might be somebody who goes into a village in Iraq, fully armed, with his weapon pointed at a village elder, as Specialist Stuart Will and his comrades order the village elder and his wife and family out into the street while Stuart Will and his comrades search their house. No reason, no search warrant, nothing. And I think of the collective wisdom of the people of Iraq. We are, after all, talking about arguably one of the cradles of civilization, a place that has been there for 5,000 years, 8,000 years. And here comes this little death metal guy in fully armed with enough firepower to wipe out an entire village, ordering folks into the street. Back in his quarters, he has an S&M photo, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just trying to show the cultural difference here between sending somebody like Specialist Stuart Will into an already extremely volatile situation, when in fact we could be sending people of quality to go kill and die. Now, one of Specialist Stuart Will's, if not his commanding officer, one of the officers there, leading the hunt for Iraqi guerrillas in Saddam Hussein's hometown, is a guy named Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Russell. And the Reuters news agency reports on this guy. He's not nervous, Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Russell. He believes he has the best protection. He says, if God doesn't intend for me to die in Iraq, then nothing the enemy can do will make it so. I have a strong belief in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is the man who heads the search for some of Iraq's most dangerous guerrillas, according to Reuters news agency, in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit, a grim little place that only has dust and flatlands, which is in common with Colonel Russell's native Dell City, Oklahoma. According to Reuters, Colonel Russell is a deeply religious family man who believes good old-fashioned American discipline and prayers will help lead him to Saddam's hardcore supporters. He said in an interview, sitting in one of Saddam's former palaces, the diehards will just have to die hard.
Come on, let's roll. Blow something up. Blow something up. Blow something up. That's what bombs are invented for, so you can blow stuff up. Let's roll. Let's blow something up. When all else fails, let's blow something up.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Mark the Animal Hottest from Animal Talk for IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
A Michigan study finds race to be the main factor in determining who lives near hazardous waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Why are some communities burdened with landfills, hazardous waste incinerators, and sewage treatment plants while others ship their garbage out? Some say the issue is money. Poor communities end up with society's waste. Bunyan Bryant disagrees. Bryant, a social scientist at the University of Michigan, says the main factor is race.
Although income does play a part in most of these studies, when you combine race and income, race is a greater explanatory variable.
In a study done throughout Michigan, Bryant measured the percentage of African-American residents in different zip codes. He compared these findings to the number of waste facilities and environmental citations in each community.
We found out that income contributed very little to the equation or to the results, and that when you look at both income and race, it was like race overshadowed income. Race was doing most of the work.
Critics argue that these studies don't measure the benefits of waste facilities in an area, mainly jobs, but Bryant says the negative health impacts outweigh the economic benefits.
The question is, new jobs at whose expense? Say, for instance, I get a job, okay, and I'm making good wages, but 10 years down the road, maybe I might succumb to asthma or cancer or something like that.
Bryant says these health impacts are a form of subsidy to industry that workers and communities should not have to bear. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I know you're set for fighting, but what are you fighting for? Turn on your TV, turn it on so loud, and watch the fool a-smiling there and tell me that you're proud.
Those who risk their lives for our liberty deserve to be fairly paid and fairly treatment.
As they stand right there before you and lie into your face, if you ever try to buy them, you know what they stand for. I know you're
27 before the hour. I may be the only one, but I'm having a lot of problems with Time Magazine selecting U.S. military, the American soldier, as person of the year. And the reason I'm having a problem with it, I've said on this program before, I have a deep and abiding respect for the U.S. military. I have had until the age of Bush. And I realize the military has been abused and misused by presidents starting all the way back at the turn of the, not this past century, but the one before that, when we went from the 19th to the 20th century. And you can make an argument that during the 19th century, the U.S. military was misused many times. Colonel Smedley Butler, two-time a winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor, put it very succinctly. If you're not familiar with his writings, you can find it with a Google search, Smedley Butler, about how the U.S. military, in his instance, the Marine Corps, has been grossly misused back at the turn of the last century, from the 19th to the 20th. But to understand on a daily basis how our U.S. military is being perverted by Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and this Bush crime family, how our military is being used as an instrument of death and torture, how our military is being used in illegal actions now. We can go to war because we have a president, unelected president, who decides he wants to go kick somebody's ass, so our people are sent to war. Our people are sent to kill and to die. To me, there's nothing honorable about following dishonorable orders or illegal orders or orders that have to do with somebody's being pissed off because Saddam Hussein defied his father. I have a hard time with this. I have a real hard time with this. Because I am a great respecter of the military, but what I see happening here, not only the military being perverted and misused and absolutely turned into something it should not be by the Bush crime family, but also the surfacing of these religious freaks, these Christian psychopaths that are in positions of power to do death and destruction within our military. For God's sake, what is going on? This colonel, who says the diehards will just have to die hard. Jesus is protecting me as I go about killing and maiming. What is that? Well, it's a sickness. It's the same as Osama bin Laden saying, Allah will protect you. Well, if he doesn't protect you, you'll go right to heaven. Same thing. Religious fanatics on their side, religious fanatics on our side. Is this how our military is to be bastardized and perverted and ultimately destroyed? Is it? It's awful. It's awful. This Colonel Russell, who says Jesus will protect him, says U.S. troops should stay the course. His words. He says, quote, we will take the fight to the enemy at every turn. We are not going to hand out lollipops to them. You use a bullet for those who can't be convinced. End quote. You use a bullet for those that cannot be convinced. End quote. This is disgusting. This is dishonorable. This man should be cashiered yesterday. Jesus protects him, and you use a bullet for those who can't be convinced. This man is a disgrace to his uniform to the same extent that Oliver North was a disgrace to the United States Marine Corps. How many of these thugs, these murderous religious fanatics, are operating at the highest levels of the U.S. military? How many? How many? And they are being given free license by the Bush crime family and the religious psychopaths that exist in the highest levels of this administration to go kill and maim and talk about Satan is walking the earth and we're going to kill him. And then Time Magazine jumps on the bandwagon. The person of the year, is the American soldier. Now, that's fine because, at one time Adolf Hitler was a man of the year. Time Magazine has tried to be clear, I think, in the past in saying, look, we're not saying we approve or disapprove. What we are saying when we appoint a man of the year, person of the year, woman of the year, whatever the hell it is, What we are saying is this is the person that generated the most interest in the media in the past year. The most interest. So but when I read the editorial statement as to why Time magazine picked the American soldier, it sounds to me like an endorsement. How do you endorse this amorphous, undescribed American soldier who is where he and she should not be? We have U.S. military troops in 146 countries around this planet. For God's sake! How many countries are there? How many nation states are there? 198? We have U.S. military in 146 countries? What are we doing? What are we doing? In each instance, is that military presence protecting the freedom of the United States, or is it being misused by the people who put them there? The latter, of course. Our military is being destroyed. It's being destroyed by a bunch of pissant chicken hawks who never served in anything in a day in their lives. Nothing. To them, the U.S. military are pieces to move around. Go kill, and when it's your turn to die, shut up and die. When you come home, there will be nobody here to greet you. Not your president, not your secretary of defense, nobody. Maybe your family. I've had enough. I really have. It's just, if I'm the only one who's going to speak out about the misuse of the United States military, then I will. I will. I will. Time magazine. The American soldier, person of the year. There is irony to that. There is sadness to that. There is disgust to that. A tradition that, for the most part, in the history of this country, has been an honorable tradition. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, on and on and on and on and on. The last great war, the stopping of fascism. And now we have people in control, both civilians and upper echelon military, who are freaks, who are psychopaths, who couldn't care less about who dies or why they die. I will use a bullet, this colonel says, if I can't convince these people. The United States military is being trashed and perverted. It's being encouraged to be lawless. It's being encouraged to be ruthless. It's being encouraged to commit murder and mayhem. And that's what you call it. That's what you call it in a situation that we are in Iraq, thanks to George W. Bush. Now, I'm pissed. One of the 14 defining characteristics of fascism is the supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a proportionate amount of government funding, and the domestic agenda is neglected. Soldiers and military service are glamorized. That's a defining instance characteristic of fascism. They're glorified until they come home. When they come home minus the limbs, or when they come home in a box, they're not glorified. When they come home as veterans, this filthy, corrupt, putrid administration does not glorify them. It glorifies them in order to get a steady flow of bodies coming into the military. When it's time to come out, either dead or wounded or maimed or just retiring, then the American soldier can go straight to hell as far as the Bush crime family is concerned. It infuriates me the way the U.S. military is being perverted and destroyed by the civilian leadership and some of the upper echelons of the military establishment, the generals and the colonels, who are corrupting and destroying military tradition and sending people to die and kill for no reason. You tell me, why are we in Iraq? This makes me sick. Just sick. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon, our bureau chief there. Joe?
Yeah, well, Time magazine is not endorsing the American soldier. This is their way of endorsing Bush, Cheney, 2004, without coming out and saying so. You know, as a matter of fact, the whole phrase, support our troops, it's about as useless a phrase as saying you support mom and apple pie. I mean, what the hell does it mean anyway? Now, you know, of course we don't support the troops when they come back as veterans. You know, they're all over America, you know, the veterans, the former soldiers out on our streets, homeless, begging for change, begging for some money to get through the night. You got, you know, people like Michael Sewage of the Sewage Nation and these other so-called patriots, you know, who say they support our troops, that spit on these same people when they come home. This is a bunch of crap. This is a bunch of BS. And not to sound too unpatriotic, I think Time magazine, I think they got it all wrong. Anywho, my choice for Man of the Year is Howard Dean for plenty of reasons.
Right. Well, and some people could say Wesley Clark, and some could say Dennis Kucinich.
Well, I pick.
Actually, I'll tell you who the person of the year should be of this year: Saddam Hussein.
Well, yes, yes, it could be a Saddam Hussein.
Because, and I'll tell you why. Because Saddam Hussein, the obsession, the almost sexual pursuit of Saddam Hussein by George W. Bush, has totally altered the nature of our respect in the world, the nature of our democracy. Why and the reasons that we go to war, our economy, every single thing you can think of, because of the almost sexual nature of George Walker Bush's pursuit of Saddam Hussein, this country, the face of this country has been altered. The texture of this country, the soul of this country has been altered. I say Saddam Hussein is a person of the year.
Yeah, well, that would be a good choice. But, of course, with the pseudo-patriotism of Time magazine, so many people in this country, of course it ain't going to go to a foreigner. So, of course, it's going to go to somebody in this country. And I say Howard Dean because, yes, there are other people that have been more courageous and gone farther in criticizing this administration than Howard Dean. And Howard Dean is the very symbol of opposition to this president, to the Republican Party in this country. If it wasn't for a Howard Dean being out there out front with his opposition and creating the political phenomenon that he has, the Democratic Party would be deader than an Amish beer keg party. It wouldn't even exist. They would disappear like a fart in the wind.
An Amish beer keg party?
Yeah, that's right.
That is pretty rare. That is dead, I mean.
That's right. Yeah. A totally oxymoronic kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm telling you, and here you got these brain dead, you know, speaking of dead, brain dead Democrats, you know, doing everything they can do, you know, Clinton's behind the scenes. I don't care what anybody says. Clinton's don't want Howard Dean to become president. Bill Clinton says, well, there's two superstars of the political party. My wife, Hillary, you know, who I don't even like to have sex with, and Wesley Clark. B.S. It's Howard Dean. If it wasn't for Howard Dean, the Democrats would disappear like a fart in the wind. All those former Democrats would become green.
I got you. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you checking in. Oh, God. Joe's going to wind up with a talk show. He's just as out of control as I am, right? God. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, I think that, to me, that's, to a Vietnam vet, that is a big insult in two different ways. Now, I don't know, you might see how, I know me and my other vets could see it. Because we was done the other way. I mean.
Right.
We wasn't nothing of the year. I mean,
do you agree with me? Since you're
yeah, my I heard it first tonight on. I ain't got to listen. I'm over at my parents' house. I've been taking care of them, and been caught. But I've been listening to you on the radio, and I heard a little bit about it today, and I didn't really know what it was about. And I heard the other guy on the show before you talking about it. And it teed me off that it's propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's what it is. I can't stand media. I can't stand the TV. I just get belligerent whenever I can't watch the news. I can't watch nothing.
I hear that.
I mean, nobody represents the small man.
I hear that.
And then the small man don't really give a damn. I mean, that's the way I feel. They don't. The people around here, they don't care.
I know.
And I don't know. I read. Have you read Hightower book?
No, I haven't. I haven't read the new one.
He said 56% of our dollar, of our tax dollar, went for defense.
Mm-hmm.
56%.
Just incredible. Did you know we had troops in 146 countries?
I knew we had them in a lot, yeah.
I didn't know
it was that many.
I didn't either. I had no idea. If somebody was said, where do we have troops? I would have said, 30 countries. But 146. Mm-hmm. What is that about? Huh?
God, if I know. What gets me is that he was talking about the Wobbly crap. Well, he was the Democrat. Wobbly crap.
Wobbly crap.
Yeah.
They
get it almost as much in campaign financing as the Republicans does from the military contractors.
Right. That's true.
The Republicans get just a little bit more.
That's true.
I mean, I'm getting more and more I find out, the more that I am.
I hear you. Joe.
You know, I've been a Democrat all my life.
Joe, let me put you on hold.
Okay.
I'll come back and pick you up the other side of this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's gonna be peace in the valley tomorrow. Cause tonight we're gonna blow it all away.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and
and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of Ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
The Mike Malloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear Malloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My attitude is, if we're going to put our troops in harm's way, they must have the very best.
Yeah, because we want them out there. Dick and I, Uncle Dick and Wolfowitz and the rest of us cowardly bastards who never served in the military 1 5 minutes in our lives, we want them out there to kill and maim and murder. And then we want them to be very quiet when they come home, preferably dead and in a box so they don't spill the beans on what we did. Back to Joe in Cypress Springs. God, have I said tonight how much I hate these people?
That's the first time, I think.
Is it? All right. Well, I'm almost 2 hours in the program and it finally yeah. came out, yeah.
I do too, Mac.
Boy.
Now, the White House is saying 17%. But he says it's a lot of that stuff, which is hidden.
Well,
they come out some stuff at the end of the day. Did you hear about the something come out that they put in something in one of the bills, like they've been doing it,
mm-hmm.
in the conference still, about you can't, if you say anything, if you can't advertise on these subways or anything like that no more about your views about marijuana.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I said it this right, but you get
the story I heard, Joe. The transit service in Washington D.C. had run some ads talking about decriminalizing marijuana, not legalizing it, but decriminalizing it. And the Republicans in Congress that control the purse strings for Washington D.C. they pulled, I don't know, $2-3 million in funding that was desperately needed for the transit system in Washington, D.C., you know, for repairs, for cleanup, for hiring of people, whatever. And this was the way Tom DeLay punished the Washington, D.C. Transit Authority. They pulled their funding and because they ran ads talking about decriminalizing, not sending people to jail for marijuana.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But
right.
But anyway, it was some congressman from Oklahoma did it. I can't remember his name right now.
That's probably Inhofe.
Who? No, it wasn't Inhofe.
No?
I had never heard of him before.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, no, this time it's supposed to be this time of year is supposed to be hope. You know, you're supposed to feel hope and peace. And, you know, the only candidate that really does that for me, really, really does that for me,
who?
Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I could fall right in there behind Howard Dean.
I hear you. I hear you. That's probably what you and I are going to have to
but
do.
But I do. I mean, whenever I hear him talk, he does make me feel good.
I hear you. Joe, thanks for checking in tonight, pal.
Okay.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Next hour, we'll have audio from Tom Rainbow Ridge and Simple Scotty McClellan on the new Rainbow of Terror, just in time for your holidays, and more of your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Voices shouting.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A roadside bomb exploded near a U.S. military convoy Monday, killing two American soldiers and an Iraqi translator, the military said. U.S. troops overnight arrested a former Iraqi intelligence officer suspected of directing anti-American attacks and raided a Baghdad mosque. Two other soldiers from the 1st Armored Division were wounded in the attack at about 11:45 a.m. in Baghdad. The soldiers' names were being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Three American soldiers have now been killed in combat in the past week, raising the toll to 317 soldiers killed in combat since military operations began in March. A strong earthquake measuring 6.5 struck Central California on Monday morning, swaying high-rise buildings from San Francisco to Los Angeles. There were no immediate reports of damage from the Tembler, whose epicenter was located 7 miles from San Simeon, California, home of the Hearst Castle, one of the major tourist attractions in the state. CNN said the castle was evacuated, though it was unclear whether that was because of damage or as a precaution. CNN, a business unit of Time Warner, has terminated its agreement with a unionized contractor that provides more than 220 technicians and camera crews for its Washington and New York bureaus. CNN says it wants to bring the jobs in-house with non-union workers. The technicians, who are represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, have been invited to apply for non-union jobs at CNN. Some have already been hired. Without the union, workers will lose the right to be paid extra for such things as night shifts and short turnarounds, which for some workers can be as much as $12,000 a year. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean criticized the Bush administration Monday for what he called a callous refusal to press Congress for another extension of unemployment benefits. Bush should call Congress into special session, Dean said, and keep lawmakers at work until the extension of benefits is approved. The looming holiday season and the potential that thousands could lose benefits at precisely the time they are most needed underscores the urgency, he said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Gary and Linda Manla nicely donated a blue spruce towering over their home for decades to Newark, New Jersey for its official Christmas tree. But the Manlas weren't in the crowd when the tree's 10,000 lights were switched on earlier this month. The city had neglected to tell them. They finally got to visit the tree this Thursday as the personal guest of Mayor Sharp James. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Ah, Tommy, we hardly knew ye. Tom Scully we're talking about. George W.'s handpicked honcho of America's Medicare program. Tommy came into this position of public trust only a couple of years ago, and already he's on the move. He spent his short 2-year stint pushing for a massive overhaul of Medicare in a way that will add profits to private hospitals, HMOs, and the drug giants. Why are we not surprised? After all, prior to becoming a public servant, Scully had been head honcho for the Federation of American Hospitals, the lobbying front for the very same for-profit hospitals that his Medicare overhaul will benefit. Now, Tom is cashing out. Having been deeply involved in rewriting the Medicare law, he's been openly peddling his insider knowledge to assorted lobbying firms, dangling his government experience to draw a 7-figure salary as a lobbyist working for the private health care giants. As one of the lobbying firms said, Tom's recent experience at the highest levels of government makes him very attractive to our firm. Great. George W. gave us Scully, a former corporate lobbyist, to rewrite Medicare, thus giving Scully an advanced degree in corporate servitude so he can now command an even fatter salary as a corporate lobbyist. There's a Horatio Alger story for you. Worse, Scully had been out trolling for lobbying jobs while he was inside the back rooms negotiating the Medicare rewrite. Yet, he says this represents no conflict of interest, for he went to the agency's ethics officer and got a waiver to the ethics rules that other employees have to follow. Besides, he assures us, nobody has ever accused me of being other than honest. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Oh, Tommy, then let me be the first." Scully, you are a scuzz, a poster boy of the corrupt revolving door scam between government and corporate power that makes most Americans sick to our stomachs.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day
on the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
7 past the hour. Welcome back. 800-TALK-YES is the number. If you'd like to email, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We were talking last hour, Joe in Cypress Springs, Texas, and a couple other callers about, and also Joe and our bureau chief out in Oregon. Oh, geez. What? Brookings, Oregon. Oh, my God. About Time Magazine, Person of the Year is a U.S. soldier, and my point of view being that the U.S. military has been utterly perverted by George Bush and by some of the highest-ranking officers in the officer corps now as they treat this illegal, murderous war in Iraq as some sort of religious mano-a-mano fight between Christians and Muslims. I frankly am sick of it. I hate what's happening. There's nothing I can do about it, but I will talk about it. Sean, who's on active duty, is calling from Augusta. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going, pal.
Right on. See, I was just reading that book. Have you read the book, Bush's Brain?
No, I haven't. A couple of people have said you got to read it. I haven't read it yet.
That Karl Rove, he's a sneaky, sneaky guy. What I'm thinking, this Howard Dean or Kucinich, whoever gets the nomination, is going to need. They're going to need an anti-Rove.
The way this
guy's been manipulating the media,
mm-hmm. It's
just, you know, and it's so obvious when you look at when you read the book and see how he's been manipulating it. It's so obvious what he's doing, but so many people are falling for it.
Well, let's not let media off the hook, though, Sean. You know, you really can't manipulate an institution that considers itself as wise as the media do without their cooperation.
Yeah, true.
So they're going along with the program because media now, all media are in the hands, just like all government.
Corporations.
Right, hands of the corporations and the hands of right-wingers. So
what we need is an anti-Rove to try to manipulate the media the way that Rove is doing. And, you know, maybe he's got to be better than Rove so that they
mm-hmm.
he can manipulate the media to the point where they'll put those stories out.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not have the corporation stop him from doing it. I don't know.
All right, what's your take on Time Magazine's Person of the Year since you are active duty? Joe, who called in right before you, is a Vietnam combat vet.
I haven't even read what this person is. I heard you talking. Was that the guy you were talking about?
Time Magazine's Person of the Year is the American soldier. And then they had on the cover...
The American soldier.
And they had on the cover a white woman, a white man, and a black man, all of whom are in, looks to me like they're in the 1st Infantry Division. And they are on the cover in full battle dress. And as you read the article, first of all, Time Magazine says that, you know, the U.S. military swept across Iraq in this glorious military victory in 21 days, which, and I raised the issue, 21 days? What the hell took 21 days?
No kidding. I get upset when people come up to me and, you know, they know that I'm in the military and they say, oh, thank you for the great job you're doing. You're sacrificing this, that, and the other. I'm not sacrificing. The only thing I'm sacrificing is my constitutional rights, and I regret doing that.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm not sacrificing anything. I knew what I was signing up for. I'm getting paid for this stuff. This isn't like, I'm all altruistic and, you know, trying to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, I feel that I'm a drain on the tax. I'm a drain on the economy because
mm-hmm.
I'm not really doing anything that is actually defending our country.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the military has become. It's become this imperialistic, you know, tool of the corporations. You know, I was listening to Tom Hartman a couple of days ago, and he was talking about the military going in and busting up unions in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they did.
Busting.
Yeah,
they told me that I was going to be a union buster when I was signing that paperwork.
Yeah.
I'd have told them right where to shove it because my dad was in the union all his life. I'm a big supporter of the unions. I won't cross picket lines. You know, my favorite restaurant could go on strike. I wouldn't cross the picket line.
Yeah.
They told me that. I would have never joined.
Yeah, we talked about that particular story. They sent the U.S. military in, I think, 36 people, or maybe it was 76, who were members of – a union that represents electricians, building trades union. And because they're trying to organize, because they're trying to get a decent wage, because they're trying to exercise the freedom that the dictator, Paul Bremer, has said now exists in Iraq, they were taken into custody. I don't want to say arrested, because when the military comes for you, you're not being arrested.
Right.
You are being, I don't know what you're being, but you are being taken by the military, in this case, the U.S. military. This is just like what the Soviets did to the Solidarity movement in Poland. They came in, an occupying force, with the help of Jaruzelski, the puppet governor of, or puppet president of Poland, and they came in and put people in prison because they were, and what did the United States do? We screamed bloody murder. We said, look at those sons of bitches.
Absolutely.
Look at those dirty, filthy communists. What are we doing in Iraq? Same thing.
Same thing. And I don't know. They let them go after 8 hours, but, you know, talk about your...
intimidation factor?
Intimidation tactic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Hey, Sean.
Burned me.
I hear you. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, pal.
You bet.
All right.
Enjoy, Mike.
All right. Thank you, sir. Michael Moore has been getting some letters from soldiers. From Lance Corporal George Batten, the United States Marine Corps, who returned from Iraq in September after serving MP as an MP in Alpha Company, doesn't give the rest of his unit, writes the following. Michael, you'd be surprised at how many of the guys I talk to in my company and others believe that the president's scare about Saddam's weapon of mass destruction was a bunch of bull blank, and that the real motivation for this war was only about money. There was also a lot of crap that many companies, not just Marine companies, had to go through with not getting enough equipment to fulfill their missions when they crossed the border. It was a miracle that our company did what it did. The 2 months it was staying in Iraq during the war, we were promised to go home on June 8th. Found out that was a lie, and we got stuck doing missions for an extra 3 months. Even some of the most radical conservatives in our company, including our company gunnery sergeant, got a real bad taste in their mouth about the Marine Corps, and maybe even President Bush. Specialist Michael, a prisoner of the United States Army, wrote the following. Dear Mike, I'm writing this without knowing if it ever get to you. I'm writing it from the trenches of a war that's still going on, not knowing why I'm here or when I'm leaving. I've toppled statues and vandalized portraits while wearing an American flag on my sleeve and struggling to learn how to understand. I joined the Army as soon as I was eligible, turned down a writing scholarship to a state university, eager to serve my country, ready to die for the ideals I fell in love with. 2 years later, I found myself moments away from a landing onto a pitch-black airstrip, ready to charge into a country I didn't believe I belonged in, with your words from the Oscars repeating in my head. My time in Iraq has always involved finding things to convince myself that I can be proud of my actions, that I was part of something, just. But no matter what pro-war argument I come up with, I pictured my smirking commander-in-chief thinking he was fooling a nation. An Army private still in Iraq wishing to remain anonymous writes, I'd like to tell you how difficult it is to serve under a man who is never elected. Because he is the president and my boss, I have to be very careful as to who and what I say about him. This also concerns me a great deal. To limit the military's voice is to limit exactly what America stands for, and the greater percentage of us feel completely underpowered. He continually sets my friends, my family, and several others in a kind of danger that frightens me beyond belief. I know several other soldiers who feel the same way and discuss the situation with me on a regular basis. Jerry Oliver, U.S. Army, who has just returned from Baghdad, writes, I've just returned from Operation Iraqi Freedom. I spent 5 months in Baghdad and a total of 3 years in the U.S. Army. I was recently discharged with honorable valor and returned to the States only to be horrified by what I've seen my country turn into. I'm now 22 years old and have discovered America is such a complicated place to live, and moreover, Americans are almost oblivious to what's been happening to their country. America has become 1984, the novel. Homeland Security is teaching us to spy on one another and forcing us to become antisocial. Americans are willingly sacrificing our freedoms in the name of security, the same freedoms I was willing to put my life on the line for. The Constitution is in jeopardy. As General Tommy Franks said, broken down, of course, one more terrorist attack and the Constitution will hold no meaning. A specialist in the U.S. Army wrote to me this week and about the capture of Saddam Hussein. Quote, wow, 130,000 troops on the ground, nearly 500 deaths and over $1 billion a day, but they caught a guy living in a hole. Am I supposed to be dazzled? Michael Moore says there are lots more of these straight from the soldiers who have been on the front lines and have seen firsthand what this war is about. I've also heard from their friends and relatives and from other veterans. A mother writing on behalf of her son, whose name we have withheld, wrote, "My son said that this is the worst it's been since the so-called end of the war. He said the troops have been given new rules of engagement, that they are to take out any persons who aggresses on the Americans, even if it results in collateral damage. Unfortunately, he did have to kill someone in self-defense and was told by his commanding officer, 'Good kill.' My son replied, 'You just don't get it, do you?' So here we are, Vietnam all over again." From a 56-year-old Navy veteran relating to a conversation he had with a young man who was leaving for Iraq the next morning. "What disturbed me most was when I asked him what weapon he carried as a truck driver. He told me the new M16 model blah, blah, blah stuff never made sense to me even when I was in. I asked him what kind of sidearm they gave him and his fellow drivers. He explained, 'Sir, reservists are not issued sidearms or flak vests, and there was not enough money to outfit all the reservists, only active personnel.' I was appalled, to say the least. Bush is a jerk, agreed, but I can't believe he is this big an a-hole not providing protection and arms for our troops to fight his war." And from a 40-year-old veteran of the Marine Corps, "Why is it that we are forever waving the flag of sovereignty except when it concerns our financial interests in other sovereign states? What gives us the right to tell anyone else how they should govern themselves and live their lives? Why can't we just lead the world by example? I mean, no wonder the world hates us. Who do they get to see? Young a-holes in uniforms with guns and rich old white tourists. Christ, could we put up a worse first impression?" And it goes on and on. And it goes on and on. And the families of these young men, especially the young men, in some instances young women, the families, the reservists, the National Guard people were called to active duty to go kill and be killed in George Bush's name, how their families are suffering financially, emotionally, psychologically. It's disgusting.
And in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Two more things, and then I want to play some sound for you from Tom Rainbow Ridge. Two very quick things. First of all, the story was reported tonight on... Keith Olbermann's news program, Countdown, on MSNBC, and it's been reported mostly by print media. Television, for the most part, is leaving it alone. But the original story came from Agence France-Presse, the French news agency. Saddam Hussein was captured by U.S. troops only after he had been taken prisoner by Kurdish forces, drugged and abandoned, ready for American soldiers to recover him. That's according to a British Sunday newspaper. And by the way, the first source that reported that Saddam had been captured was an Iranian news source. It was not Paul Bremer. It was not CNN, MSNBC, Associated Press, Reuters. It was an Iranian Iranian government news service. Anyway, the Sunday Express in the UK quoted a senior British military intelligence officer saying Saddam came into the hands of the Kurdish Patriotic Front after being betrayed to the group by a member of the Al-Jabur tribe whose daughter had been raped by Saddam's son Uday, which led to a blood feud, and he was betrayed, as he should have been. The newspaper said the full story of events leading up to the former Iraqi goon's capture on December 13th near his hometown of Tikrit exposes the version peddled by American spin doctors as incomplete. A former Iraqi intelligence officer, whom the Sunday Express did not name, told the paper that Saddam was held prisoner by a leader of the Kurdish Patriotic Front, which fought alongside U.S. forces during the Iraq War, until he negotiated a deal. The deal apparently involved the Kurdish group gaining political advantage in the region. And further, an unnamed Western intelligence source in the Middle East told the London or the Sunday Express, quote, Saddam was not captured as a result of any American or British intelligence. We knew that someone would eventually take the revenge. It was just a matter of time. And then the second thing was, as you know, on Sunday, Tom Ridge raised the level of, I don't know what it is, alert? Yeah, alert status in this country to orange, and everybody really paid attention, didn't they? This falls into the if it's Monday, it must be orange category. Here Tom Ridge terrorizes us right before Christmas with the chatter about the worst possible attack since 9/11.
Today, the United States government raised the national threat level from an elevated to high risk of terrorist attack, or as more commonly known, from a yellow code to an orange code.
He sounds very matter-of-fact, doesn't he?
The information we have indicates that extremists abroad are anticipating near-term attacks that they believe will either rival or exceed the attacks that occurred in New York and the Pentagon and the fields of Pennsylvania nearly 2 years ago.
And now that I made the announcement, I have to go buy a new pair of socks and some underwear. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep. More about the serious nature of this threat, but haven't we supposedly locked up or otherwise eliminated two-thirds of al-Qaeda's leadership and dismantled their networks? Weren't we told that once Saddam was arrested, since Saddam is the one who sent the bombers to America on September 11th, right, everything would be okay? What's Ridge been doing all this time?
The U.S. intelligence community has received a substantial increase in the volume of threat-related intelligence reports.
Oh, I see. All right.
These credible sources suggest the possibility of attacks against the homeland around the holiday season and beyond.
Oh, well, that's bad.
The strategic indicators, including al-Qaeda's continued desire to carry out attacks against our homeland, are perhaps greater now than at any point since September 11th, 2001.
And perhaps not, but listen, I've got to go buy some socks and underwear. Would you all excuse me for a minute?
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly there's a shadow hanging over me. I'm not half the man I used to be. Oh, yesterday came suddenly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A Michigan study finds race to be the main factor in determining who lives near hazardous waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Why are some communities burdened with landfills, hazardous waste incinerators, and sewage treatment plants, while others ship their garbage out? Some say the issue is money. Poor communities end up with society's waste. Bunyan Bryant disagrees. Bryant, a social scientist at the University of Michigan, says the main factor is race.
Although income does play a part in most of these studies, when you combine race and income, race is a greater explanatory variable.
In a study done throughout Michigan, Bryant measured the percentage of African-American residents in different zip codes. He compared these findings to the number of waste facilities and environmental citations in each community.
We found out that income contributed very little to the equation, but to the results, and that when you look at both income and race, it was like race overshadowed income. Race was doing most of the work.
Critics argue that these studies don't measure the benefits of waste facilities in an area, mainly jobs, but Bryant says the negative health impacts outweigh the economic benefits.
The question is, new jobs at whose expense? Say, for instance, I get a job, and I'm making good wages, but 10 years down the road, maybe I might succumb to asthma or cancer or something like that.
Bryant says these health impacts are a form of subsidy to industry that workers and communities should not have to bear. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Just a couple more here from Tom Rainbow Ridge. So what is your government doing to protect you from this very serious threat that's up to orange now? We need to know what they're doing to make us safe, right? Okay, you ready? How many billions went into the Department of Homeland Security? How many constitutional guarantees have been destroyed? How many thugs have taken over our government? How close are we to martial law? So here's what they're doing to make us safe.
Now, obviously, I will not outline all of the actions that are being taken to protect our citizens.
Oh, damn.
We will not broadcast our plans to the terrorists.
Oh, damn.
Your awareness and vigilance can help tremendously.
Oh, it's up to us. Okay.
So please use your common sense and report.
Okay.
Suspicious packages, vehicles, or activities to local law enforcement. Go over your family emergency plans, and if you haven't developed one by now, please do so.
Use your common sense and report suspicious activities. Hello, officer. This is Mike Malloy. I'd like to report a bunch of thugs that have taken over my government. George Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney. No, that's not what they had in mind, huh? Jesus. Oh, my God. Your awareness and vigilance can help tremendously. What time is it? Okay, I'm almost done. So here he is. Now the reporters begin to ask questions, beginning with this gem. Mr. Ridge, can you detail some of the types of chatter that you're talking about when you're saying you're getting more information about threats during the holiday season? I know last week, sir, there was some discussion of a female suicide bomber in New York City. Is this the type of thing that you're hearing about?
We continue to hear, one, the interest in using aircraft as a means of attack.
Yeah.
Two, there's continued discussion. Again, these are from credible sources about that near-term attacks
that
could either rival or exceed what we experienced on September 11th.
Well, you just said that a minute ago, sir. I just wanted to know about the chick who was going to blow up New York, you know, the suicide bomber. You don't have anything about that? Okay. Another reporter asked how this will impact holiday travel. Oh, sir, what are the implications here with this elevation for people who are traveling over the holidays? Are they going to see things different at the airports and the bus stations, et cetera, huh, Your Excellency?
We are going to ask the traveling public to do the same thing they did in helping us as they did during Thanksgiving.
We're not
going to compromise security. We are going to add more security. But if they do
God.
A couple of things during the course of their travel, it'll expedite things.
It'll
take all those items out of your pocket and put them in that tray, take the computer out of the case, take the coat off. There are a lot of little things that they can do so we can move things along.
Jesus! Oh, my God! Let me smash something. Quick, Kathy, get me something to smash so that I don't break my radio studio and I don't lose my license from a string of gutter profanity.
This is what this freak says? Play it again. Play that one again. All right? Here's what we do.
We are going to ask the traveling public to do the same thing they did in helping us as they did during Thanksgiving. We're not going to compromise security. We are going to add more security. But if they do a couple of things during the course of their travel, they'll expedite things. They'll take all those items out of your pocket and put them in that tray, take the computer out of the case, take the coat off. There are a lot of little things that they can do so we can move things along.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Can you... Stop it, Mike.
Now, simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today. You know, the big announcement was yesterday. Okay, here we are. White House briefing. One of the crack White House press corps stands up.
Scott, on this Homeland Security briefing that the president received or that he convened or something, I don't know, Homeland Security Council, what makes this different in his mind...
What?
This threat level.
In Bush's mind?
What should Americans know as they sail for the holidays, Scotty?
Yeah, that puts us on a different plane, so to speak.
there's still information that indicates that terrorists abroad are anticipating attacks that they believe will rival or exceed the scope and impact of those we experienced on September 11th.
We heard that already.
And recent reporting continues to reiterate that Al-Qaeda... seeks to
use aircraft
as a weapon in suicide-type attacks.
Yeah.
And certainly, Secretary Ridge pointed out that acquiring and using chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear materials remains a
top
Al-Qaeda objective.
Yeah.
And I think it's for
all these
reasons
that
the decision was made and the president agreed
with that
decision.
Yeah. Chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear materials, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 gold rings, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear, and a parsnip on a pear tree on the 12th day of Christmas. These people are insane, and they're making me insane. Simple Scotty, so exactly what is our government doing to protect us?
Okay, let's cut to the chase here. From this threat which may be deadlier than 911. Scott? Come on, looks like... It's up to us to protect ourselves. Scotty says it's up to the American people. So listen up. Here's Simple Scotty's advice.
They need to be vigilant, particularly when we're in this heightened state of alert.
Okay.
The American people can play a role in preventing attacks from happening in the first place.
Roger.
The American people should be on the lookout and report any suspicious activity or packages.
10-4.
The American people should, as we have previously outlined, plan on what they should do in an emergency.
Roger.
And what their family should do.
Gotcha.
They can go to the website ready.gov to get more information about that.
Yes, sir.
And they should certainly be aware of the surroundings and the current threats that we may be facing.
We're to be aware of threats that neither you, Bush, nor Ridge will specify. Gotcha. These dirty bastards. These dirty bastards. What do you say? The American people should be on the lookout and report any suspicious activity or packages? Packages at Christmas? What does that mean? Don't open those gifts Aunt Rose sent you via UPS or from your secret Santa? Oh, Jesus, it might be a package full of, oh, I don't know, anthrax, Ebola, Lassa fever, yellow cake. I'm telling you, damn it, all 37 of you listening, please agree with me. These people are sick. They are crazy. They are mad. They are insane. But we're in Code Orange, right?
Huh?
Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to load up my weapons, all 4 of them. I'll hold one in each hand, one on my feet, one on my teeth. I'd give one to Kathy, but she doesn't like guns. I'm going to load up all my weapons. I'm going to shoot every Christmas gift I have under the tree. I'm going to rig something in the front yard where I've got that motion detector light. And the first son of a bitch that turns that light on tonight is going to be dead in the morning, boy. Let me tell you. I am going to carry my weapons. I'm locking and loading. And I'm not looking for any Arab terrorists. I'm looking for some of you right-wing snots that lurk around and listen to this program but don't have the guts to call in. But I'm going to take this seriously. We're at a code orange. By God, that's just right below code red. I'm going to load up. I am going to make sure everything. I've been wanting to try. Oh, my God. You don't know what I've got. I've got a Tech 9. I have been wanting to try this sucker. Ooh! With that 30-round clip in it. Damn! Oh, God, my hands are getting sweaty. Lord, I'm starting to get aroused here. All right, Tom, I believe you. 30 rounds. You know what I can do with that? Jesus. What are we supposed to do, Governor Ridge?
Well, go buy some socks and underwear. Get you some duct tape and some of that plastic sheeting and be like Malloy. Buy yourself some good solid weapons. Load them some bitches up and I tell you what, use them. I just can't stand this anymore. I can't stand it. Marge is calling from Merville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey, Mike. You're something else. I got to tell you.
Yeah,
but
well.
Before I take one step further, I've got to compliment my fellow truth seekers and their talent for creativity.
Oh, some of the singers and the songs and the stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
God, I'll never be that good. But anyway.
We got a couple more here on hold if we get to them tonight. If we don't get to you singers tonight, we will be doing a Christmas show tomorrow, and I want you to call back in. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your tongue there, Marge.
Back to level orange.
Code orange.
We got to all be more alert. God knows the world needs more alerts. But, I mean, you know, it struck me when they were talking about that. First, it came on at noon yesterday. It was well after all the media whores in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it came on in the news in the afternoon at 6 o'clock, whatever the hell time it was. And the media whores went trotting out to the airport with their cameras and their microphones.
Wasn't that fun?
Oh.
You ought to seen what, you should have seen what they did here in Atlanta. We have the busiest airport in North America.
Well, we're fighting for you, for O'Hare.
Yeah, I know. Well, they had all three of the network affiliates and CNN mm-hmm. and everybody else right out here at Jackson, what is it called now, Kathy? Jackson Rumsfeld Airport. No, Hartsfield. Okay. Jackson Hartsfield.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, the thing that struck me was going through the airport while this gal with the microphone was talking, was uniformed guards with flak jackets on, carrying, I don't know, one rifle from another, but it looked like an AK-47. It looked like more than just a regular rifle. And I thought, that's what they're wanting to do. Get the U.S. traveling public and the rest of America used to the idea of martial law and armed guards walking around.
There you go, honey.
The whole damn thing with the tax cuts for these corporate beggars, they're going to have to kick back in because the cities and the states are going broke with the economy. And every time they up the ante on these damn alert levels, they have to spend more money for police, for fire,
mm-hmm.
for whatever, what's the medical alert, what do they call those people?
EMTs, emergency medical people.
Yeah, the first responders. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
First responders. And they're going to break this country back to a third world status. We're not going to have a dime in our pocket. And if that doesn't do it, Walmart will. I mean, these bastards, they fight with people to make the lowest price on all the toys.
Right.
FAO Schwartz is in bankruptcy.
Right.
There's grocery stores in Southern California that are fighting for their life to keep union help in their stores.
Right.
But if you work for Walmart, God help you, you're only going to work for a union.
That's right.
You're going to work for minimum wage, and you got to work there for 6 months if you're a full-time employee to get any kind of medical benefits.
Uh-huh.
And I think 2 years or 18 months. If you're part-time.
Right, right.
And they don't give a damn about the people in this country. They just, get used to it, folks. There's going to be armed guards walking in the street.
Well, the reason that's not going to happen is because we are going to throw the bastards out in November 2004. You got to believe it, Marge.
And one last thing while we're talking about all these I got to watch myself.
Yes, you do.
What the hell is this crap with Gaddafi? All of a sudden, he's going to be a good guy?
I know. He's got
to kick in the ass.
I know. They're trying to make it look like Gaddafi went, oh, Lord, I don't want him come bombing my tent again. You know, Gaddafi has been under embargoes. He's tried to buy his way out of the Lockerbie bombing. You know, he finally saw the light and said, okay, I'll give up this crap. I just want to make a lot of money, and that's what the Bush administration, the Blair administration is about, so I'll cut a deal. That's all he did.
Jesus, Pete. And one last little thing to soften your heart for the night.
Okay.
One of the local stations, I do listen to other people besides you during the day because you're not on then.
That's right.
They asked the question of the audience, how many people got Christmas bonuses of substantial nature?
Right.
And they didn't go on the air with all of them, but the producer was taking the calls, and they said there was people, you know, had $1,200, $1,800.
Yeah.
But the kicker was one guy had $9,000. But the big one was over 9,000. Now, they didn't say how much over 9,000, but but the source is what I liked. It was from a hospital executive in western Chicago.
Well,
now,
sure.
These bastards are supposed to be broke, aren't they?
No, not the upper echelon. No.
Oh, I heard that, and I almost climbed the wall with my bad knees. I swear to oh, Michael.
Marge, you're starting to sound like me. Hey, thanks for checking in.
Take care, my friend.
All right, Marge. Appreciate it. Talk about Christmas bonuses. You and I got one, didn't we, Kathy? Pink slips! February 27th, or sooner! That was our Christmas bonus. Which puts us in good company with an awful lot of good Americans who have also been pink-slipped. Hey, that's the way it goes. You don't get in radio for job security, that's for sure. As a matter of fact, you don't get into anything in this country anymore for job security.
I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jackets, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue, I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me, I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side, I'm on the right side, the only side.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Nobody can threaten this country. Oh, they may be able to bomb a buildings.
Yeah, that's good, George. Five before the hour. Don't forget tomorrow night, our Christmas program, and then we will be off for our last week of paid vacation with this network. So be here tomorrow night, okay? We'll have fun. Grant is calling from Richmond, Virginia. He's been holding on since God was a teenager. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing, pal.
I was looking at the Toronto Star headline.
Yeah?
Yeah. A society shocked or scared into stupidity.
That's us.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
Talking about how hard it was to get back and forth across the border if you didn't happen to be white.
Yeah. Okay. I hear that.
But anyway, I left this on the line a few weeks ago. Apparently, you don't have access to that anymore. It's about our friend Rush and his problem with the drugs.
Yeah?
And it's here comes Oxy Cottontail, rushing down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity, Limbaugh's on his way. He's got a great big bag of lies for all of you girls and guys who are dumb enough to listen every day.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, my God, it needs a couple more verses. That's good, Grant. That's good, Grant. You need to write some more, dude.
My voice won't do a couple more verses tonight. I'll think about it. But the
here comes Oxy Cottontail. I like that.
Yeah, old Oxy Cottontail. Why hasn't he surrendered himself to jail?
I don't know. It's coming, and I can't wait to see the ditto heads. There will be explosions all over this country. You know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. When Rush cuts a deal with the police or gets probation, or does jail time, you're going to hear, what are there, he's got 14 million listeners a week, you're going to hear pops all over the country as heads explode. There would be heads exploding on in cars, in traffic, in offices, in homes, just heads exploding as these freaked out, dumber than dirt ditto heads are unable to cope. Their boy is going to jail or cut a deal, and their heads will explode. Now, that is kind of a good thing, because that means Satan can't pinch him off and toss him into hell where demons can use him as soccer balls. But it's going to be weird. When Rush cuts his deal, you'll hear pop, 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 bam, 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 all over the country.
I'll have to look out for incoming in my cubicle when that happens. A guy down the way has it radio on all the time.
Yeah, well, you'll hear his head explode. There'll be teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the walls of the cubicle. All right?
When I hear it pop, I'll duck, man.
Grant, thanks for checking in, dude.
All right, Mike.
All right, you have a nice evening. And everybody that, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, Robin. I apologize. I want to hear your song, Robin. Kim, driving to Youngstown, Ohio, please call me tomorrow night. Stephanie in Ann Arbor, I'm sorry. We didn't get to you. And John, who's calling in from Racine, Wisconsin, we'll get to you tomorrow night. Tonight's program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman's our announcer. Program engineered in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Holiday show tomorrow night. Special announcement from Kathy and me and a gift giveaway to a lucky listener. Take care. I'll see you then, I hope.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
No more lies, no more, no more lies.
There's another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans.